supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salam. So welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. And for this episode, we have an interesting topic. We're going to speak about bringing up daughter in a Muslim family.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you, is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today is Tuesday, is the 3rd of Zilqada, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. corresponding to the 2nd of Khordad, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 23rd of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this moment, we'll listen to Allah's book, the Holy Quran. We choose chapter Takwir, verses 1 to 9, and then we learn about an important point of it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إذا الشمس كورت.
When the sun is wrapped up in darkness.
وإذا النجوم كدرت.
And when the stars fall dispersing.
وإذا الجبال سيرت.
And when the mountains are removed.
وإذا العشار عطلت.
And when full-term she-camels are neglected.
وإذا الوحوش حشرت.
And when the wild beasts are gathered.
وإذا البحار سجرت.
And when the seas are filled with flame.
وإذا النفوس زوجت.
And when the souls are paired.
وإذا الموءودة سئلت.
And when the girl who was buried alive is asked.
بأي ذنب قتلت.
For what sin she was killed.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One of the most dreadful and most savage actions of the pagan Arabs was female infanticide, which is made reference to repeatedly in the Quran. Some commentators believe that this custom was committed only by one tribe of Arabs, but surely it was not a rare phenomenon. Otherwise, the Quran would not emphatically refer to it on frequent occasions. In any case, it is so terrible and cruel that even its rare occurrence is notable.
Life is not the same. When I'm too concerned by what they say, why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
So we come back to our topic, the blessings of having the daughter in a Muslim family. The daughter is the blessing of Allah. Allah blesses with daughters to those people who deserve them. Islam gave huge respect and honor to daughters. Children are no doubt a great gift from Almighty Allah to all parents. Parents must think of their children as such treasures that all their wealth and material resources are worthless when compared to one's children. We as parents should thank and be grateful to Allah Almighty for blessing us with children, whether they are boys or girls. When a daughter was born into a family, she should be treated as a great blessing. The birth of a baby girl brings many benefits for the family, as daughters would be an important part of society. Parents who are blessed with a daughter should bring her up well, because Allah has promised paradise to whoever raised their daughter well, to be a woman who walks in the path that pleases Allah and does everything under the purpose of seeing the blessings of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his beautiful progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the Islamic perspective in upbringing the girls and our daughters. Of course, our children enter preschool at the age of 6 and then begin school life in the 7th year. Islamic education of girls in school is another important part, the key part of which is on our shoulder. Although our child learns religious and moral teachings in school, these cases are included in the religious books related to her religion and will be explained to her by the teachers and educators. But your daughter's classmates can have a lot of influence on her. How they grew up in families and reached this age will be an important issue. It is necessary to refer again to the subject of action instead of advice and listening. In fact, our child will be influenced by them, so we need to justify her in this case. The next point and tip that we want to present here is that change is always hard, and even in childhood. Imagine that in the discussion of Islamic education of our daughter, we consider one of the most important issues to be the preservation of chastity and complete hijab, both outwardly and morally. But when your child has not yet been justified in this matter until the age of 9, you have not given her the necessary training, she will definitely face problems. It is better to think about education earlier and try to convey everything to your child before this behavioral pattern is formed.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
Teach your daughter, do not give away your rights. Teach your daughter to be patient, yet not give away their rights under the banner of sabr, patience. Allah has granted women different rights and different roles. She has a threefold greater position as a mother than a father. She has the position of being subordinate to her husband in terms of decisions. Yet she has been granted the status of love and respect, and as a daughter, she has the unique position of being a source of Jannah for her parents. Allah has made her special, and she must know her rights in every relationship and demand them if not given. She should not be made to resort to a position of discomfort or humility because society tells her to bear with hardship to protect others. Teach your daughter to uphold what Allah has given her rightfully, and then submit to His will with patience that befits a Muslim. That daughters are the reason for the existence of humanity? Why should having a daughter considered a curse while she's the reason humanity exists? Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his family, himself, said that a woman whose first child is a daughter is blessed. not only bringing many good things with her, the birth of a daughter is such a blessing for the mother who has carried her for 9 months long as well. Parents of a daughter will be very close to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, on the day of resurrection. As reported, the Messenger of Allah said, "Whoever brings up two girls till they reach the age of puberty, he and I will come on the day of resurrection like this." And he joined his blessed fingers.
When we talk about the equal potential that Allah has given to men and women to acquire the fada'il, the good qualities in human beings, immediately the issue comes up, then why does Islam differentiate in certain laws when it comes to men and women? And we have to realize that there is a difference between what is known as fazilat and what is known as farz. When it comes to qualities in a human being, there is no difference in the potential. When it comes to the issue of roles and duties in society, Islam believes men and women are different. They are equal as human beings. But when it comes to their role in society and how they have to function their roles, Islam keeps that difference in mind, which is part of human nature. Islam emphasizes in family life, especially the status of woman as a mother is highly, celebrated in Islam. The laws of the Sharia are modified in order to accommodate the motherhood status of the woman. For a man to come into masjid, there is a greater sawab. For a mother to do her namaz even at home has the same sawab. Why? So that she doesn't have to, feel that, okay, to get extra sawab, let me go to the masjid, even though I would be put into inconvenience with taking my baby with me. So everything is there done. The difference is there, not because one is superior and the other is inferior.
So, inshallah, we continue on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? Told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Salam friends, and since we are still basking in the birthday celebrations of our innocent lady of Qom, Hazrat Masuma Al-Fatima, peace upon her, the daughter of the Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, let us listen to a saying in her honor by her nephew, Imam Javad, peace upon him. Whoever visits the tomb of my aunt in Qom, aware of her status, will be granted paradise by God Almighty.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This hadith is about the believer, the mu'min. You know, iman and faith, and also the believer, the mu'min. This is a topic that has been discussed in the Holy Quran in many different ways and in many different verses. By way of example, in one verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following. The faithful are only those whose hearts tremble with awe when Allah is mentioned. And when His signs are recited to them, they increase their faith. And who put their trust in their Lord, maintain the prayer and spend out of what we have provided them. It is they who are truly the faithful. They shall have ranks near their Lord, forgiveness and a noble provision. In this connection, the Holy Prophet Muhammad described the believer, the mu'min, in the following way. He said, he, the believer, is subtle in his movements, sweet to look at. He seeks out the loftiest of matters and has the most outstanding moral ethics. He is not prejudiced against he whom he does not like, nor biased in favor of one he loves. He is hardly a burden and instead is very helpful. He perfects his actions as if he is being watched, lowers his gaze, is liberal in his giving, and never turns away a beggar. He considers his words carefully and guards his tongue. He neither accepts falsehood from a friend nor rejects the truth from an enemy. Meaning if an enemy tells him something true, he will accept it. In continuation, the Prophet said, he only learns in order that he might know, and he only seeks to know in order that he may act. Meaning, action is the ultimate goal for this person in the acquisition of knowledge. He doesn't want to learn just so that he could say that he knows a lot of things or he has a lot of knowledge. No, he learns so that he can eventually act upon what he knows. When he travels with worldly people, he is the smartest of them. And when he travels with the people of the hereafter, he is the most pious from among them. These are some of the beautiful characteristics of the believers in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Perhaps summing up all of these characteristics in one sentence, the Prophet Muhammad said the following regarding the believer. The believer likes others and is well liked by them. And there is no good to be found in one who does not get along with others and whom people do not get along with. The best of people is the most useful from among them. And the Prophet said, he whose good deed pleases him and whose sin upsets him is indeed a believer. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the believer and his virtues and characteristics in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions in Practical Tajweed Rules held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So I really, really welcome you all, and also our brothers here, Brother Ali Nasir and Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah and Fawad Haider. All right, without wasting the time, inshallah, we'll go on and continue to Surah Ali Imran. Ayah 118 will be our today's topic. So we'll talk about this ayah shortly. We'll mention some points. Then inshallah the tajweed rules and the recitation will practice. All right?
Let's listen, everybody.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر قد بينا لكم الآيات إن كنتم تعقلون.
Great recitation, Alhamdulillah. So, make sure, brothers and sisters who are listening to IRIB English Radio right now, stay with us, inshallah, at the end of this session, after we mentioned the important tajweed rules, we'll practice the recitation as well. So, stay with us till the end of this session. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الله المايري in Surah Ali Imran in Ayah 118 on page 65 says يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who have faith لَا تَتَّخِذُوا بِطَانَةً مِّن دُونِكُمْ Do not take your confidence from others than yourselves. Do not take your best friends, close friends, or secret friends from others than yourselves. لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم. They will spare nothing to ruin you. They are eager to see you in distress, in problem, in trouble. قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ Hatred has already shown itself from their mouths, from their sayings. وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ And what their breasts, their chests, hide within it, yet worse, it is worse than what they say. قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ We have certainly made the signs clear for you. We have told you everything about your enemies. So there is no excuse for you. إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ Should you apply reason if you are reasoning. Right? Guys, in this ayah, Allah Almighty warns us of many important points. First, about the enemies and friends. Which type of people, which groups of people we have to take as friends, close friends, we should share our secrets with them, which type of people we should not. Remember, it's very clear. If we, God forbid, have enemies, that nowadays we have enemies. So, guys, in the early Islam, there were some Muslims, okay, who were sharing their secrets with Jewish people. Right? So Allah Almighty told them, reveal this ayah that do not take others friends if you have mu'min brothers okay your mu'min brothers should be your friends why because those Jews okay they were showing for example love friendship to this kind of Muslims okay and in return okay what did they want in reality they were asking for the plans of Muslims that what is the Prophet gonna do in the war so Allah Almighty warns them don't do this Do not share your secrets with them. They will not be helpful. They will not care about you, okay? Okay? So, that's it. And also, Allah Almighty says, لا يألونكم خبالا, okay? They will not back down. They will not back down. Don't look at them. Apparently, they smile at you. Okay? There is something in their heart. Alright? So, that's it. In kuntum ta'qilun, Allah Almighty says, if you apply reasoning, okay, you will understand these things. Right? So, that's it. Guys, refer to the tafasir books, okay? The explanations will be are given there, okay? Inshallah, you can learn more. And also, our scholars have talked about these kind of issues a lot, okay? May Allah Almighty protect us from all these kind of plots. All right?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن Want to learn Quran at home?
join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
It's time for us to mention the important tajweed rules. Ali Nasir, Hussein and Hassan and Fawad. Ready, inshallah?
Yes.
All right. Let's go. So, in Ayah 118, the first important rule that our brothers and sisters also have to remember as they are listening. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Ya, the mad is not wajib, but you can stretch it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Or you can skip it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. If you skip it, okay, read the long vowel. Ya two counts, but the mad don't read it, okay? That's it. Ladhina dhal amanu hamza. La tattakhidhu bitanatam. Aha, bitanatam. Bitana. Ta. Bitana means, if you look at the dictionary, okay, search it in the dictionary, it says underwear. Bitana. Underwear, okay? It comes from the word batan. Batan means your belly. Your belly. It tells you this, your underwears, for example. Your underwears are so close to you, yes? To your body. So it talks about this, like, do not take your enemies as your friends. Close friends, like your underwears. Okay, so close to you. Right?
Yes.
But explanation is this, okay? That don't make them close friends to you, okay? Do not have a relationship like that. Remember, even if you have a relationship with them, okay? Remember, they have plots against you. So, بِطَانَ طَا has a heavy sound. طَا بِطَانَ تَمْ تَنْوِين plus ميم. ميم matches
إدغام.
إدغام. يرملون letters and the rule إدغام is applied. So merge them. بِطَانَ تَمْ مِنْ دُونِكُمْ مِنْ نُنْ ساكن plus دال. دال matches إخفاء. إخفاء is hiding the sound. مِنْ دُونِكُمْ لا يألونكم خبالو. Right? خبالن changes to خبالو. Am I right, Hassan? خبالو. تنوين plus واو. Merge them. إدغام.
Yes.
خبالو ولا. Sorry. خبالو ودو ما عنتم. قد. قد. Right?
قلقل.
قلقل. Bounce the sound. Echoing sound. قد. بدت البغضاء ضد has a heavy sound. بغضاء من بغضاء the mad is wajib, right?
Yes.
Hamza and Alif both are in the same
yes.
way. من أفواههم no changes to the noon. Noon ساكن. Clear to read it. Hamza is there. من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر أكبر. Ra has a heavy sound when you stop here. Hassan, what does that jim say?
It's jais to stop or continue.
Ah, it says it's jais to stop or continue. Good job. Thank you. Thank you so much. Qad, qad, again.
The iqqalqala.
Iqqalqala, yes. Bayyanna lakumul ayat. Sila tells you, Hussein.
Better to continue.
Better to continue. Good job.
إخفاء
hide the sound of noon. إن كنتم تعقلون. Right? So, now we mentioned. Do you have any questions? Any other tajweed rules here?
No, sir.
So let's practice the recitation. Brothers and sisters, now it's time to practice the recitation of this ayah. Stay with us, okay? Let's continue. I'll recite. Make sure, inshallah, you repeat after me. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم
لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم
لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم
قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر
قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر
قد بينا لكم الآيات
قد بينا لكم الآيات
نون مشدد if you see there okay نون مشدد قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ
قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ
Good job, mashallah. إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ
إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله الله bless you إن شاء الله That's it from us for today Brothers and sisters Thank you so much for being with us and listening to IRB English Radio إن شاء الله in the coming sessions We'll continue and with the rest of the verses of Surah Ali Imran. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thanks to Fawad Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser for being with us. As Fawad is pointing at me to give him a thanks, I already give you a thanks, okay, Fawad? Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In the previous edition of the program, we had a look at the general frame of supplication of Kumail. We were trying to have a detailed look at the four means of recourse in the supplication of Kumail. We said we try to talk in details about the four means of recourse which have appeared in the supplication of Kumail. And these means of recourse, actually, they constitute the main frame, the main part of the second part of the supplication of Kumail. The first means was Allah's previous goodness, previous kindness, previous grace towards the servants. مَا سَلَفَ مِنْ بِرِّكَ وَإِحْسَانِكَ. The second means was our love for him, because this is a commodity that Allah never rejects. And parallel to this means is our profession of his oneness, our humility before him, our prayers, our prostrations, our remembrance of him, because they are all because of our love for him. They must be, actually. Whatever we do in this world, in this life of ours, we must do because of our love for him. This is the highest level of monotheism. Whatever we do because we love him, not just because we are afraid of his fire, not just because we are actually eager to see what he has promised to the believers. No, whatever we do because we do love him. That's the highest level of monotheism. Anyway, talking about the means of recourse, we were saying that the first means was Allah's previous goodness. The second means that Imam Ali alayhi salam uses and applies in the supplication of Kumail is our humility before him, our love for him. And the third means was our weakness. But where all these actually means of recourse reach the highest level is the fourth means, with which Imam alayhi salam seeks recourse to Allah. With that state of iltirar, we sufficiently discussed the concept of iltirar as we translated it into desperate need. We liken the situation to the situation of a baby. She knows that her parents are her protector. They are her supporters. She knows that only they are the ones who can fulfill her needs while no one else is able to do so. So that's why she develops intimacy with them. This is the point. This is exactly the same thing between the relation of the servant of the Almighty Allah. The true servant must realize that whenever an affliction befalls him, the very first place he must turn to must be the Almighty Allah. Because he is the absolute cause, he is the one who has created us. And after getting to know him, after recognition comes this state of love, this state of intimacy. This is what Imam Ali alayhi salam uses in the supplication of Kumail. Allah!
أسألك اللهم إني أسألك اللهم إني أسألك اللهم إني أسألك اللهم إني أسألك
اللهم إني أسألك
برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء
اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء
وبجبروتك التي خلقت بها كل شيء
وبجبروتك التي خلقت بها كل شيء
يا نور يا قدوس يا
آخر الآخرين يا أول الأولين يا آخر
So we said that this state of iltirar has got two aspects. The second aspect is Imam Ali alayhi salam talking about the spirit of tawheed in prayer, where he says, O Allah, I swear sincerely that if you leave me with speech, I will lament to you from the midst of the fire's inhabitants with the lamentation of the hopeful, and I will call unto you. But this was the first aspect. The second aspect is the fact that the relation of the servant with Allah is the kind of seeking protection from him, asking for his help, and crying for his mercy. Is it then possible that Allah, the most merciful of all merciful, hears the cry for help of a servant whose ignorance and heedlessness has driven him to the fire of hell, whilst he asks and laments for his help, calls on him with the tongue of those who profess his unity and beseeches him for delivering him from the fire. But he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaves him in the torment to be burnt by its flames, encompassed by its groaning and convulsed among its levels. This is not what we have expected of the previous clemency of the Almighty Allah. Now listen to these words. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Can you see yourself, glory be to you, O Allah, that yours is the praise, hearing from within the fire the voice of a slave surrendered to you, imprisoned there because of his violations, suffering the pangs of its torment because of his disobedience, and confined within its levels because of his sins and crime, while he laments before you with the lament of the one hopeful of your mercy? Dear listeners, this is the second aspect of the fourth recourse we are trying to discuss. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, That servant calls upon you with the tongue of those who profess your oneness and entreats you by your lordship. O my protector, how should he remain in the chastisement while he has hope for your previous clemency? Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi. وبركاته.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
سيد عبد الله الموسوي.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human traits and at the same time vices that either we should have or we should not have, and depends on which way we will go, we will affect ourselves and those around us. Among the vices that we have been speaking about and we said we should not have is actually thulm, oppression to oneself or to others, something that we should not do. And we spoke about the consequences of thulm and what would happen to us in this world and what would happen to us in the hereafter. Now, obviously, we want to learn how can I and you refrain from committing oppression to ourselves and to other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the criteria. He has given us the way and the blueprint to move forward and overcome our oppression. First and foremost, to stop being oppressive to ourselves and to others is to stop sinning. Sin itself is an oppression to myself and to other people. The more I sin, the more I'm harming myself and other people. So the first thing that we have to begin with is to avoid sins. Two, once we start to avoid sins and stop them, we have to repent as much as we can. So as we say, kathratu tawbah. There is no limitation when it comes to seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to constantly seek forgiveness from Allah. And doing istighfar, which is also necessary. So it is a chain. Stop sinning, repent, and constantly do istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the criteria that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me and you to have. So for example, we see in chapter Ali Imran in verse 135, Allah says when it comes to dhulm and oppression, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Those who commit an indecency or oppression to themselves, what do? Allah says, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهُ. First of all, they remember Allah. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Then they would ask Allah for forgiveness for their sins. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Surely it's only Allah who can forgive their sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me and you to repent and to stop sinning. And then Allah says, وَلَمْ يَصُرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. They don't